Well, I had the privilege of getting ready to teach about Zwingli. I can remember church history class at Grace and studying the Reformation, and I think I had maybe quarter page notes on Zwingli, so it wasn't very much. So this was pretty much fresh to me, and found him to be way more interesting than I imagined he would be. And I had the chance to keep studying and keep studying, so I kept adding to notes or whatever. So maybe I've overstudied him in a sense. But anyway, we've got a quiz here to start us off to see if you were know as little about Zwingli as I did. But we're not going to go over the answers either right away, so must be one of those brownouts we've been promised. Okay, so the first one, and you can just mark it, before being a leader in the Reformation, Zwingli was a teacher, priest, town councilman, or farmer. Which one do you think? Two, Zwingli lived and worked in an area that is now France, Italy, Switzerland, or Germany? Three, true or false, Zwingli was a fiery speaker. Four, Zwingli's homeland was A, highly militaristic, B, neutral on wars, or always sought peace. Five, Zwingli's favorite way of preaching was to A, work through a book verse by verse, or B, speak to a topic, or C, get ideas from the town council, or D, speak on whatever the Pope was requesting. Six, true or false, Zwingli came up with the term Anabaptist for those who preached believers' baptism. Seven, true or false, Zwingli's life of service was cut short when he died of the plague. Eight, true or false, Zwingli was a follower of the teachings of Martin Luther. Nine, Zwingli was involved in a scandal that featured which food? Crackers, chocolate, cheese, or sausage? And 10, Luther had 95 theses. How many articles in Zwingli's pronouncement? 67, 105, 100, or 42? Okay, now we'll see if we can how we can do on the map. Did you get this?
I did. Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right, I'll tell you. Okay, number one, if you can see it there in all those colors,
yeah.
That's Wittenberg. Probably German pronunciation is Wittenberg. Two, that's Zurich, if you can find it there in Switzerland. Three is Rome. Four is Avignon.
What?
Avignon, the place where the popes went to when they left Rome, Avignon. Avignon. Five is Geneva. And six is Worms. Those are all have something to do with the church history we've done or will do.
Say Worms? Or
Worms.
Okay. It's Worms.
It looks like Worms.
Yeah, we
it's Worms in Nebraska.
Yeah.
Near
Central City.
Anybody ever been to Worms?
Central City.
Yep. There's a sign when you're nearing or around Central City. Worms one way and Archer another. Okay. So now that we've done the pre-quiz, then we can hand out the notes.
Just going off of test-taking skills, my guess is that Zwingli is out of Switzerland because you have two cities in Switzerland. Nobody else can use that, though.
Well, the fact that it's all...
I was in his churches.
Outlined in red might be a hint to
I think this looks like disease.
Yeah, and I think, Scott, your note had it too, right? Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah.
Okay, like I said, we won't necessarily go over those, this quiz directly, but as we go through, we will start touching on some of those things. So Zwingli was, he was the son of a successful farmer and magistrate. So his dad farmed, so he got to herd livestock and do some planting and things like that. His dad was fairly successful. And if you're wondering, what's a magistrate? What would a magistrate in that area do? Probably like the mayor of the city, and he works as a judge as well. So he has an important position. If you want to see his boyhood home, I have it towards the back there in the pictures. The first page, it's all pictures. The birthplace is Zwingli there, and that's the house he grew up in. And it's still standing. So Fred must have been involved in the building of that one. It's because it's still around. So, well built. Okay, as a boy, he enjoyed studying the Bible in original Hebrew and Greek. Probably not as a real young boy, but he had 7 brothers and 4 sisters. I don't have that in the notes there. And if you're wondering, how does he fit in time-wise with Luther, he's actually just 2 months younger than Luther. So they're definitely contemporaries.
So where does he fit in the birth order? Because wasn't Luther the oldest?
Oh, in his group, where does Zwingli fit in? He's one of the younger ones. But we don't exactly know because it's gathered from letters he's written. The records of some of that is not very good. So, he enjoyed music to the point he was nearly convinced to join a Dominican group that wanted his musical skills in order to develop him as a musician. But his dad did not want him to become a monk. So he talked him out of that. He, just in case I forget, later on, he quits calling himself Ulrich and changes it to Huldrych, which is spelled Huldrych. Now, Ulrich means rich and powerful, and Huldrych means rich in God's grace. So he wanted to kind of signify it's not a whole lot of difference as far as the way it's pronounced, but he wanted to distinguish himself that way. Okay, Switzerland at the time of Zwingli was really militaristic. Now, how many of you think of when you think of Switzerland today, do you think of military? Probably not. What's something that Swiss are known for today?
Neutrality.
Cheese.
Chocolate.
And chocolate.
And chocolate.
That's why I had cheese and chocolate on the quiz. But
those weren't the right answers.
So only the Swiss eat more chocolate per capita than Americans do.
And they don't eat chocolate.
It's a little more bitter, probably, what they eat. So, but so we don't. Now there's a Swiss Army knife. So maybe they. That's a little bit of a hint that they were militaristic at one time. But they were militaristic at the time of Zwingli. So Switzerland really was not existing as a country at that time. It was part of the big Holy Roman Empire. So on that map on that quiz page, you can see all those little pieces there that make up the Holy Roman Empire. Except that Switzerland had this confederation within the Holy Roman Empire. It was 13 cantons were organized, and they did meet together and have some loose organization. as well as being tied by culture and so on. Now, they got to be a really prosperous country. They had their livestock, and they were actually exporting dairy foods and so on. And so some of their neighbors began to envy them and want that to own them. So there were invasions from the outside, at least three different invasions. So they had to get themselves organized to keep from being taken over. And they were less people than those groups that were trying to take them over, and so they had to develop their weapons. So if we go to this page here with the pictures, what they first had was that halberd. And you look at that and you go, well, that would be pretty scary to come up on somebody, because it has like a blade on it as well as a sharp point. But they discovered that that wasn't nearly as good in battle as the pike. So the long, long spear, and then be tightly organized together, and they could they were able to fend off people. Now, when the invading forces would come, Switzerland is mountainous, so they would have to come through in narrow gaps, and that's where the Swiss would meet them then. And so what if you had a lot of horses? You're coming through just as a few at a time, and they were able to fight them off then with the pikes.
Did they have a grocery store way back then? Where they had the cheese and the chocolate?
Probably in some way they did. Good question. Okay, so because they were able to fight off these people that had better or not higher numbers, people began to look at the Swiss as, hey, those guys really know what they're doing militarily. And so they offered to them to hire them as soldiers. And now that's not unusual in Europe at this time, too, to hire mercenaries. And the Swiss go, well, that's all right, because, you know, we can go between planting and harvesting time. We can go off to war and make a little money. Or the second and third and fourth sons, they don't have land maybe, so they're going off to war. So lots and lots of Swiss become mercenaries at this time.
Well, isn't the Vatican City there defended by the Swiss Guard?
Very good, thank you. Yeah. Good transition. Okay. So if you look at the under the picture of Ulrich Zwingli, you will see the Swiss Guard at the Vatican. So, and it dates way back to this time, of Zwingli's time, that the Pope had the Swiss Guard as his protector. In fact, we'll get to it, but here in a little bit, when they go into battle and the Pope is leading them, he has lots of Swiss with him. Okay, so he grows up in a lot different kind of Switzerland than exists today in a lot of ways, and way different mindset than we might have too as well. So he has I want to set that as one of the things. He grows up in a real militaristic society, and so for him to think about going to war for Christ in a sense is not strange either. Okay, so some of the people that influenced him: Thomas Wittenbach. Wittenbach had preached against the indulgences before Luther did, and Wittenbach had proclaimed the scriptures with the authority, not the church. And he taught salvation came by faith alone in the crucified Christ. So he'd heard these things when he was going to school. Not all of my notes here are necessarily chronological, more kind of topic. But Zwingli was also a disciple of Erasmus. And it was Erasmus that convinced Zwingli that salvation was in Christ alone. Zwingli was most likely involved in translating the New Testament with Erasmus sometime along the way. That's a little bit foggy to know if he was there helping directly. Probably not, but helped in the distance. And taught him that Mary and the saints had no part in salvation. And Zwingli felt an indebtedness to Erasmus. That is absolutely sure that he wrote about that quite a bit. Now, letter G, Erasmus dies a sad and somewhat lonely man. because he's hated by the Catholics for hatching the Reformation, and the Protestants didn't love him because he refused to join their movement. So kind of sad for him. Okay, Zwingli graduated from Basel University. He had both a bachelor's degree and a master's degree by the age of like 21. So pretty sharp guy as far as a student. Okay, so his early days of service. He's first a priest at Glarus. And this is kind of his home area. And it's here that he begins to question the moves and the motives of Rome. The city of Glarus was nearly a military camp because there are lots and lots of the men from that town were mercenaries. And it's from here that the Pope gathered an army to march against the French. And Zwingli went as a chaplain in those battles. And it's here that Zwingli begins to question the mercenary system, because in one battle, 10,000 Swiss were killed. And here's Swiss were fighting against Swiss because the French hired the Swiss as mercenaries, and the Pope had the French as Swiss as mercenaries. So Zwingli goes, this isn't right at all. And he's also questioning the Pope.
So is it 10,000 because of the on both sides?
Yeah.
Kind of like the Civil War.
Yeah. In the United States. So he begins to search the Bible more, and he wants to go back to the source, and he's reading the Bible in Greek and Hebrew this time. And it's probably at this time that he becomes a true Christian, and he's led to Christ by just reading the Bible. And this happens to Zwingli before Luther even nails the 95 Theses to the Wittenberg door. And he doesn't know anything about Luther at this time. So you see God working in more than just one area in Europe at this time of bringing people to true faith. A lot because of his anti-mercenary feeling is that he decides to leave Glarus, and people of that area also want him to go because he's saying this isn't right, and that's what a lot of the economy is based on. So he ends up at Einsiedeln and preaching there. Now, an interesting thing about Einsiedeln is that it has a shrine of Mary. So one of the earlier priests had carved a shrine out of wood of the Madonna, and supposedly miracles happened there. So people would come to the shrine, and Zwingli didn't necessarily stand up and preach against the shrine, but the people that came to it, he shared the gospel with them. So it's an interesting thing that was able to happen. Later on, he's going to preach against these sort of things, but he didn't at that point. He also has a lot of time on his hands here because it's not a very busy job preaching at this place. So he studies Ambrose and Jerome and Christendom and Augustine while he's there, and gets deeper and deeper into his faith. Unfortunately, he also falls into sexual temptation here, and he's deeply ashamed of his sin, but he also comes to believe that forced celibacy of the clergy is not a healthy thing at all. And he begins to teach about and talk about that. Letter D also goes with the time that he's at Einsiedeln. He becomes known as the young preacher and a tourist attraction himself because of the way he preaches. So he's preaching outdoors a lot as well as in the church. So a lot because of his reputation and in some family ties and people he meets, ends up being coming to the largest church in Zurich at the time. And So I think I mentioned what letter F has there, that there are 13 cantons, and they're really part of the Holy Roman Empire, but also Swiss on their own. And so he gets invited to that church. Now, there was another person that some other people at that church wanted, and Zwingli, though, lived up to his sin. And the competitor for it even had a worse record. He'd fathered 6 children. So we could see, and you start studying, there's a real problem amongst the priesthood at that time, and probably not just in Switzerland, but a lot of places where they had mistresses and had kids. And so if you think about it, men not even empowered by the Holy Spirit probably to live out Christian life, trying to do that, it's very difficult. Okay, now Roman numeral 3, service leadership. So he begins teaching, when he gets to Zurich, he begins to teach differently than and preach differently. So at that time, the church set what they were supposed to speak on. They got up and gave a homily of about 10 to 15 minutes, and it was on a topic or whatever. But Zwingli goes, no, I'm going to start preaching through the Bible. And he starts at the book of Matthew, and he preaches verse by verse through the book of Matthew. And here's where his preaching, number 2, is preaching so powerful that one parishioner said he felt like he had been lifted up by his hair and suspended in space. So I don't know if he enjoyed the experience or it doesn't. I think being lifted up by the hair would be a fun experience. But anyway, he was a fiery and interesting preacher. So after preaching through the book of Matthew, he went to Acts, and then 1st and 2nd Timothy, and then Galatians, and he preached all through the New Testament except for Revelation. And he had some problems with Revelation, so he left it alone and wasn't sure it belonged in the canon. But it took him 6 years to preach through the New Testament. That doesn't sound like too long, though, does it? So, okay, like a lot of reformers, he wasn't quite sure about Mary, and he sometimes wrote about her being the perpetual virgin or the blessed virgin. So, but we'll see later on that he wasn't devoted to Mary, that's for sure. So I have 2 Bible verses there about Mary, that if he was preaching through the book of Matthew, I don't know why I have 125 though. Oh, yeah, I do not. Okay. But he knew her not, speaking of
Joseph,
yeah. Speaking of Joseph, but he knew her not until she gave birth to a son. And then 13:55. Try to catch a little light here.
I got it if you want.
Oh, go ahead.
Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things?
Yeah. So he has brothers and sisters. Now, I did happen to catch a Catholic broadcast where a priest was defending, and he said, well, it's just like the term brother and sister is like cousin, can be like cousin. So I'm sure there's ways to explain it away, but it's taking your end and trying to work backwards rather than taking what it says and looking at what it means. Okay, 7, Zwingli also coined the term Anabaptist, which means rebaptizer, and it was not meant to be a compliment, and we'll look at that later on as well. On Fridays, he went into the marketplace, so he stepped out of the church building and preached through the Psalms. He did not speak out directly against the Pope, but he said that he would lead the people from worship of idols to the worship of the living God. So, the next big thing that happens in his life is he and his brother was living with him at the time in Zurich, and they are stricken with the plague in September 1519. His brother dies, but Zwingli survived and believed that God had spared him for a purpose. And Scott and I were talking ahead of time that about Zwingli and the plague here. A lot of people had fled, even church leaders, but Zwingli stayed and ministered to people. And that impressed a lot of people, and a lot of people began to listen to him about other things then as well, especially things to do with the Reformation, because he had stayed with them during that time. So he was emboldened by his experience and by God, and Zwingli preached out against the corruptions and the leadership of Rome at this time. But he kept his temper and his tact better than Luther did. He'd started reading some of Luther's writings and agreed with Luther on many issues. So, number three there, Zwingli said, the papists say you must be a Lutheran because you preach just as Luther writes. And I reply, I preach just as St. Paul writes, so why not call me a Pauline? In my view, Luther is a mighty advocate of God who closely studied the Bible more seriously than anyone has done on earth for 1,000 years. No one has been like Luther in the manly and unflinching courage with which he has attacked the Pope. Still, I do not wish to be called after Luther's name except that of a captain of Jesus Christ, whose soldier I am. Yet I value Luther as highly as anyone alive. So they have their disagreements, but Zwingli definitely, at least when he's writing this, definitely respects Luther and the work that Luther had done. So Zwingli was actually preaching Christ alone a year before Luther's 95 Theses. We might have mentioned that already too. And Luther and Zwingli had been strongly influenced by Augustine. So Zwingli starts to get quite a few people in the city of Zurich studying with him and working through the New Testament in Greek, working in the Old Testament in Hebrew. And some of the reformers that were working with him end up thinking that Zwingli's a little too soft and they want him to speak out directly against the Pope. And he responded to them that he wanted to change individual hearts and that would not be accomplished with a hammer. So, okay, we get to the sausage scandal. So if you had that on the quiz, which food? It's sausage. So it's during Lent, and it's on Friday, and several workers decide that at a Friday evening meal during Lent that they're going to eat sausage. And Zwingli is there. He actually even cuts up sausage for people. He doesn't partake himself in that, but he's there and in a sense sanctioning it. And several men end up getting punished by the city council. So you can see this: the church and state there in Zurich are really strongly tied together. The city council also sees themselves as like a church board as well. And they get punished. Zwingli ends up, like the next Sunday then, preaching on the freedom to choose food out of that. So
this is obviously after they've decided that you have to have fish on Friday.
Yeah. Yeah, this is during that time. So, this is year 1522 when this happens. And they also end up taking a lot of icons and out of the churches and burning them pretty close to the same time. Okay, so he ends up breaking from Rome in September of 1522 officially. He rejected the infallible authority of the papacy. He rejects the infallible authority of Roman church councils, rejects the infallible authority of the Roman church tradition, and instead embraced the authority of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Scriptures. And it's this time that he quits holding Mass and changes the church service a lot. The Pope ends up not excommunicating Zwingli like he had Luther because he needed the Swiss mercenaries, and he didn't want to make the Swiss angry with him for that. It's also at this time that Zwingli secretly marries Anna Reinhardt, and then he publicly marries her in 1524. And I have an article there, if you ever want to look this up, in Table Talk magazine. It's about Anna Reinhardt and her role in the Reformation as well. I thought it was an interesting article. Okay, so he ends up in 1523 coming out with 67 theses. So if you chose 67 on the quiz, you did well.
Got one right. Yes, right.
So this was announcements made before the Zurich Church Council or City Council. And Luther's 95 theses mainly deal with what? Anybody remember?
Indulgences.
These are all over the place of things that he does not agree with the church at the time. So one of the things, I have an asterisk if it's one of his 67. So one of them is purgatory does not exist. Another one is the Lord's Supper is not a sacrifice, but a remembrance of Christ's sacrifice and the assurance of salvation Christ has given to us. Christ died once, not every Sunday at the Mass. And a couple, Romans 6:10 and Hebrews 9:28 would back that up. And a person does not need to partake every week because once they've trusted Christ, that person has the fullness of Christ's mercy. Communion is not a work, but a response of worship by a grateful person. Anybody have any thoughts or comments or disagreements?
Would you consider those people Anabaptists then, or was that something separate?
Anabaptists are going to come out of this, out of his movement.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So this ends up becoming a contention then, not only with the Catholic Church, but with Luther as well. Another thing about communion is nothing miraculous about communion. There is really no need for a priest or pope. So that's what one of the things that the Pope and the rest of Catholicism has a problem with Zwingli's teaching here. Well, if nothing is wonderful or miraculous is happening here, then we don't need a priest in that sense, and we don't need a pope that sends this power to the priest. Okay, another one of his theses, Christ alone, no pope, is the head of the church. And Christ is the only way to salvation for all who were, are, or ever shall be. And another one, the one who claims there are other doors for salvation is a murderer of souls. Pretty strong language there. 8, a Christian may eat at all times food decrees about cheese and butter as a Roman swindle. So, okay, why did he take these 67 theses or articles to the city council? Zwingli looked upon Zurich as a Christian community. They elected Christian rulers that are responsible for regulating the city's spiritual life. So this view of the world gets him in conflict later on with other people, and so the militaristic side of the community or the country, and then this view of government is what we might look at Zwingli and go, what in the world? But if you understand that, where he's coming from, then you can understand what ends up happening to him and so many, many things. So he, in 10, he believed that the secular government would take over the religious authority that the papacy had exercised. So he thought government should handle a lot of these things that the Pope is doing instead. 11, Luther did not agree with Zwingli on civil government. Working in such realms, Luther emphasized that salvation meant for the individual. Again, Zwingli's looking at, he's thinking about this big Christian community. The city council decreed that no preaching should be done except the preaching from the Bible. So, can you imagine that happening in, anywhere today? All right, letter E. Zwingli wanted rebirth of Christianity. So he tear down everything and go back to the scriptures. That means throw out everything and go back to the scriptures. So this is one of the big differences between him and Luther. Luther looked at things and said, well, I see in the Bible things against what we're doing here. Zwingli saying we shouldn't do anything except what the Bible teaches. So that goes number three now. Zwingli called on churches to remove and eliminate religious pictures, crucifixes, candles, altars, relics, choirs, organs, robes, processions, and monasteries. And why the organs? Why get rid of the organs? He thought that the organs could become an idol as people would be drawn to the beauty of the music instead of true worship. So they did wear robes, but they threw away all the Catholic robes, and they wore robes, the preachers wore robes that would be like what teachers at their universities wore instead. So they did have a garment that they wore. So if you look at some pictures, you'll see, well, he's in a robe. Well, it's not a Catholic robe. Zwingli would have agreed with the previous leaders, such as Bernard of Clairvaux and John Gerson, when they spoke out against pictures and images because they led the simple folk into idolatry. And he really strongly believed that those people were worshiping the statues and the pictures instead of worshiping Christ. Zwingli was the first to have communion served to people as they sat in the pews. And he was the first to, we probably have, I may have this later on too, but so he's also serving the bread and the wine to the people in the pews. He was the first to use exclusively the local language for all parts of the service. So they didn't retain Latin for any part of it. Whatever, everything was done in the local language. He also used a liturgical form of worship, set prayers, and the congregation recited the Apostles' Creed. He used the Catholic liturgy as a base for making Protestant version, as opposed to Luther, who merely translated Catholic liturgy into local language. Zwingli did not have singing, though, at the service. They would read the Psalms, and so we'd have two, we'd have an aisle down the middle, pews and pews, and the men would sit on one side, the women on the other. And when they would do the reading of the Psalms, they would take turns, men reading one line, women reading the other. In a normal service for Zwingli, you had Bible reading, prayer, and a sermon. He only did communion four times a year. And he saw it. He has a really low view of communion compared to everybody else at the time. He sees it a little more than an act of pious ceremony. So it's not a big deal to him at all. And maybe that's because he sees how it went this way so far that he ends up swinging the pendulum the other way. But so the city, all with his urging, they take the cathedral grammar school and make it a much bigger deal. He's appointed the principal in 1525, and he reorganizes it so that it's not just a grammar school, but it's a theological seminary so that he can train pastors there. So, obviously, I didn't plan to get through this whole thing anyway. So, and I wasn't sure how far we would go, but maybe that's a good place to stop right there. Do we have anybody have a comment or a question?
I've got a question.
Go ahead.
So for a guy who loved music and was being sought after, does he say why he...
He feels like it can become an idol to people instead of true worship. So I think we probably could disagree, but that's an excellent question because he was trained strongly in music, almost goes that way, and then to walk totally away from it. Maybe it was a personal thing for him too, that he just felt like he wasn't worshiping God, he was enjoying the music. I don't know. So that's a good question. Maybe it's in his letters somewhere.
I've got a question.
Okay.
About like how famous Martin Luther is as like the protests, right? Zwingli arguably is way more against the traditions of Catholic. I mean, comparatively, right?
In a lot of ways, yeah.
So it's interesting to think about why we don't know why is that not a more common thing that people know? Because I've never heard of him before this.
Yeah. Okay, there's a couple of things that the Pope makes a big deal about Luther, and he doesn't Zwingli.
The Swiss Guard.
And Zwingli's going to end up dying here fairly young, and Calvin takes up a lot of the stuff that Zwingli did and built on that.
Gotcha.
And so it becomes Calvin becomes kind of more important than Zwingli.
And Zwingli's death wasn't a result of the church. It was something else, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And it wasn't the plague, so... If you pick that,
I'm gonna look ahead.
All right. Well, at least I know on the organ that he felt like people would use the organ as an idol, that they would end up worshiping the music instead of worshiping God.
I know Piper kind of picked up on something similar to that, where he asked the question: music has such power to move us. In one way, and we can feel like we've been in worship, but have we really?
Yeah.
Is it just because we've been moved emotionally, or have we engaged both with mind and that part of it? So
yeah.
He had a good message on that, just kind of.
Yeah.
He says he loves music, and he loves the word. So, but we have to kind of wonder, is it the music only that's mm-hmm. moving me?
Yeah.
And that. So I mean, maybe that was part of it. I don't know.
Yeah, it's certainly possible.
We were in this church this summer, and
in the great Jason, cathedral.
Yeah, and we spent over an hour there. It's very fascinating. We climbed up the tower, I think, on the right, and then just spent time. There was somebody playing a beautiful organ. There was somebody up there playing the organ, and we just sat. There were a lot of people just sitting in there, and it's very beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah, so the church there in Zurich, we do have a picture of that church in Zurich. So, all right, so bring this back next week. So, anything else? Okay, thank you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the way you worked in history and in bringing out your believers and people that stand for your word and not rely on the wrong things, but that bringing back to true belief and true worship of you. And we thank you for the way you worked in Zwingli's life, and as we look at it, that we would be moved to be bold to be strong, and to search the word and not rely on traditions or other things. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.